Well, looks like it stuck with me today. But that's all right. God gave me a word. If you will, let's bow our heads and let us pray before we begin. Dear Father God, Lord, we just come before you, God. We give you praise. We worship your holy name, God. We thank you, Lord, for this day. This is a day, God, that you've made and allowed us to dwell within it. We thank you, Lord, for the deposit of the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding, that gives us knowledge and truth, God. We thank you, Father God, for the hearers that are here, the people that are here today, Father God. Give them ears to hear, eyes to see, Father God, and hearts to receive your word, Father God. But don't let them only be hearers, God, but let us all be doers of your word, Father God, that we may go out and be practitioners, God, to be the example that you have us to be, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for revelation and godly wisdom, Father God. We thank you, God, that your word will go forth, God, and will accomplish what it set out to do, Father God, and you will use us to do that, God, this day. We thank you in the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone agrees, say amen. Amen. All right. That's good to see you, Miss Coral. Miss Coral, it's good to see you. I miss your birthday party, I'm sorry, but happy birthday. Happy late birthday. 84? Praise God. Praise God. That's something to praise God about. We thank God for you for being here today. Now, my topic, I'm going to get right to it. My topic today is on reading God's word. Reading God's word. You know, it's not what I intended to talk about today because I knew that I had to prepare for a message about 2 months ago. And I had a different message, but I'm not giving that today. I'm not giving that today because on Monday when we were traveling back, I got a word from the pastor. He said, hey, do you mind doing Bible study on Wednesday? So God gave me a word on Wednesday morning, as a matter of fact. And Wednesday night, I went into Bible study to lead Bible study. And the word that God gave me, I read the program that our first Landy handed to me. And this is what Stuart came up with. And I just giggled. The Holy Spirit had me giggling inside because I was excited because it's the same word that God gave me for Bible study. Reading of his word. The word is so important. Don't you agree? See, what God gave Stuart without any collaboration on our parts, no talking between us, that let me know that it was the confirmation of the Holy Spirit. And God had a design plan for us to be here today, for you that are here, for me, myself, to hear this message today. So listen up and take heed. It's God's plan. Now, I have an overview of the word that I want to give today. And if you're taking notes, I hope that you do. Now, write down this outline, if you don't have it, if it's not up on the screen, let's see. If it's not on the screen, outline, write down this outline so you can take it home and you can review it later on for further revelation. And I'm going to try to stay on topic because the word today is going to be focused around three questions. And followed by supporting scriptural references. Now, the first question is, what does God's word do in our lives? What does God's word do in our lives? And the scriptural references for that is Hebrews 4 and 12. We'll cover that. John 8, 31, 32, and Psalms 119, verses 105 and 133. The second question is, what are we instructed to do with the word? What are we instructed to do with the word? Followed by scriptural references, Colossians 3:16, Psalms 119:11, and Joshua 1:8. And our third and final question of discussion today will be, who helps us to understand the word? Who helps us to understand the word? And we can find supporting scriptural references in John's 14:26 and 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11 and 13. Now, I think that one of the most neglected aspects of the Christian lifestyle, of the Christian community, is reading the Word of God. Reading the Bible and allowing the Word of God to make changes in our lives, to transform our minds. You know, it's like when you get married, when we tend to put on the ring and we say, "I do." And we think that's all to it. We don't make changes. We don't make transformations in our life, in our new marriage. We just simply accept, as one actor would say in a movie, I's married now. We just simply accept that fact that I'm married. That's the easy part, to say I do. But the more challenging part is the communicating of love to one another with our words and doing it on a consistent basis. You know, if my wife never talked to me, we wouldn't have much of a marriage. Her words are everything to me, and my words are everything to her. Our words go direct into our hearts. You know, beauty fades, but our words, they stay hidden and they remain in our hearts forever, just like God's word. It never changes. You know, it's just like accepting Christ into our life, accepting salvation. That's the easy part. Jesus did all of the work. He took on all of our iniquities. He bore all of our sins, all of our diseases. He paid the price. And all we have to do is accept him and not reject him. That's easy. It's a gift of salvation. The more challenging part that we have to do as Christians, as followers, as believers of Christ, is to fall in word, fall in love with his word. To fall in love with his word. We're talking about reading God's word. You know, I was doing my research on this, and I came across this religious affairs correspondent who wrote back in 2017, I think it was September to be a matter of fact, and she was talking about the reading of God's word. And she did a survey on the Church of England, and it's staggering on who reads the Bible. She said that the results of our survey revealed that the majority of the people that say that they are Christians in the Church of England do not read the Bible. The figures show that 60% of self-declared Christians admit they never read the Bible, and 36% say they never attend church. And then 1 in 3 said they never pray. Staggering are these numbers. And more than that, more than half of all of the denominations across the Christian community that this survey was done in, more than half don't read their Bible. That's not just the Church of England. That's all the Christian denominations. Staggering numbers. Folks, we have to get back to reading the Word, self-included, and allowing the Word of God, the living Word of God, to guide our lives. And I think if we did so, society would not be as corrupt or as dark as it is now. All it takes is one, each one, to do our part, to be a light and to be righteous in a dark and corrupt world. When we fail to read and practice the word, we are contributors to this darkness and to this corruption. When we neglect to read the word of God, it's like a disease. It's like a serious injury. It's like a handicap to the body of Christ. What happens when we don't consume the word of God? What happens to Christians? We lose our love. We lose our peace. And we lose our faith. The unity that we once knew fades, and division creeps in. The peace that we once had wanes away. Bless you. I think the number one cause that keep us from reading God's word is distractions. Communicative distractions, even. Other words, other communicating things that go into our ear gate and our eye gate and penetrate the depths of our heart. Those are distractions that interfere with the reading of the word. You know, I read somewhere that on average, a person spends about 300 minutes on their cell phone. Now, this was another survey that was done. On average, 300 minutes on the cell phone. 300 minutes. iPad, cell phone. 305 minutes watching TV. Now, that's, if you calculate that, that's a little over 5 hours a day on communication that either you're talking on the phone, you're working on your phone, we're watching TV, rather than reading the word of God. Now, here's another staggering statistic that the average vacationer, when they go on vacation, when we go on vacation, the average person, they look at their cell phone once every 3 minutes. That's a powerful distraction. That's a powerful device. You know, you're sitting back, you can't even think past 3 minutes. We can't even think past 3 minutes without going, has anyone sent me a text or anything new on here? Looking at the cell phone. Now, here are some examples of distractions in our lives when we're talking about these words and these things that are coming to distract us from reading the word of God. You ever try reading when you have spare time and you get all prepared? Go to a quiet spot. You start reading the word, and then you hear ring, ring. You hear that phone, and the first thing that we do is that it's almost like going down the road, and you hear that siren, and you see that blue light in your rearview mirror, and your body just tenses up, and you know to just, yeah, pull over or stop or get it out of the way. But it gets your attention. And that's how we do. We have to go and answer that call. It's as if we don't answer the call, the world is going to end. So we become the superhero and save the day and answer that call instead of reading the word. How about this here? You go to read, and right when you're about to turn off the TV and get into a quiet spot, right across the screen, breaking news pops up over the screen, captures your attention. Or maybe your favorite TV show comes on. For me, it's like, I love Judge Judy. When I hear her voice, it just does something to me. What are they talking about? My career is, I'm a police officer, so it draws my attention. But it takes away, and what we say is that, okay, I'm going to sit here just for 1 or 2 minutes just to see what's going on. But 1 or 2 minutes turn into 1 hour, turn into 2 hours, and the word of God has been forgotten about. Here's another one. You're in the latrine. We're in the bathroom. And the phone rings in the other room. This is how powerful this distraction is. That we shut down every organ in our body. We cancel it, terminate it, because we have to go and answer the phone. It could be Prime Minister May on the phone, and we have to talk to her, right? That's a distraction. You know, my wife was watching a movie on TBN last night while I was reading the word, you know, so she was contributing to that 300. No, I just mad. It was a Christian movie. So I came by and I got a glimpse of the scene that was on in the movie. And there was this guy who was about to commit suicide. He had a gun underneath his chin. And he was just about to pull the trigger, ring, ring, he put it down to go answer the phone. That's the power of this distraction. But we got something more. You know, God pointed this out to me personally, and I know if it's true for me, and it is true for me, that it's true for most of us as well. We just simply do not get enough of reading and hearing the word of God that we need to get to be prosperous in this life and to be successful in the life and to walk in righteousness. No wonder we are malnourished in both our physical and our spiritual lives. So let's get to the first question here. What does God's word do in our lives? Let's get to the reading of the word. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the spirit and soul, the joints and marrows, even to the discerning of the intents and the thoughts of the heart. It penetrates where no man has gone before. It's like a Star Trek movie. They go in places where no man has gone before. That is the word of God. It can penetrate and the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrows, even to the discerning of our thoughts and the intent of our hearts, whether it's good or bad, it discerns it. This word is the very essence of life. The way in which God creates, he used his words. He spoke it and it was. In Genesis, he speaks of the power of his word. We can go back to Genesis. Then God said, let there be light. And it was light. He said, let there be firmament. Then God said, let the waters be gathered together. Then God said. And everything that God said, it was so. I say this all the time. One word from God would change our lives forever. But we have to read it. We have to speak it. And we have to live this every day. This is what God's words can do in our daily life. It changes us to be more and more like Jesus, his beloved son. If you turn your attention to John 8, verse 31 and 32. And the scripture says that then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. So I say, if we're not abiding and resting and dwelling in Christ and following his word, we find ourselves captive and bound and tied up in a web of lies and deceit, enslaved to sin and death. If we are not continuously reading and hearing truth, we naturally gravitate to that lie, to that sin. See, the carnal mind that we have, it's at enmity with God. Its first and foremost thought is self-pleasing. Self-pleasing to the lustful desires of our flesh. Our feet run towards sin, gravitates towards sin, and believe in the obvious lie when we're not reading the word consistently. Now let's go to the final two passages here in Psalms 119, verses 105 and 133. And we're talking about what does God's word do in our lives. And I try to practice this now. The psalmist says that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. You know, this world is a dark place with all kinds of evil. You know, I just imagine, you know, sitting from a God's eye point of view, looking down at each individual house and the darkness and the sin in those houses, looking at each individual community, each individual village, each individual county and district, each individual state and country. Oh, there's a lot that's going on. There's a lot of darkness behind in dark corners. And dark streets, in the woods. There's a lot going on, a lot of evil. And God sees it all. The world is dark, and all kinds of evil goes on in it. And the only way to navigate through this safely is by allowing the word to eliminate our paths and keep us from falling into the snares, into the potholes and the traps of life. Psalms 119, 133 tells us that direct my steps by your word. Order my steps. Tell me where I must go. That's what the word does for us in our daily lives. It directs our steps. And let no iniquity have dominion over me. You know, when sin has dominion over us, it does everything that John 10:10 says, that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. It steals from us. It kills us. It destroys us. When sin has dominion over us, it binds us from moving forward on the narrow road of righteousness. and allows the weeds and the grass to grow up under our feet and choke whatever little word that we have left in us, chokes it out of us. When we don't read the word of God. So what does God's words do in our daily lives? His word is alive and powerful, and it's our sword. It's our weapon of choice. It discerns what is right and wrong in our lives, in our heart. No, we cannot fool it. We cannot trick the word of God. It discerns our heart. It is truth and freedom in our daily life. It navigates and illuminates my way, your way, through the many paths of life and keeps sin in check so that it doesn't rule over us. Are you following me? Question number two. What are we instructed to do with the word? And we've talked about it. We have eyes to hear the word. We have ears to hear the word. But what are we instructed to do with it? We need to get it in our heart, to get it in us, to get it in our heart, because, as I said, the enemy is here to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants our word, not our word, but he wants God's word. That is his goal. He does have any interest in us at all. The enemy wants God's word because he knows it is truth and it's powerful and it is life. So we need to dust off our Bibles. I saw a picture of a Bible. It reminded me of vehicles that you see sometimes when you're going down the road or just parked somewhere and it has all of this grime and dirt and dust over it, and someone has fingered in, "Wash me." Our Bibles are like that. Spiritually, we have dust and there's a finger that is inscribed, "Read me, read me." Turn, if you will, to Psalms 119:11. We're talking about what are we instructed to do with the word. The psalmist says that your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. You know, we all will be tempted by the enemy, just like Jesus was tempted when he was in the desert and Satan came to him. But Jesus quickly used the word against him so that he would not sin against God. See, the devil didn't know, or he might have known, that Jesus was the word. His DNA was the word. And Jesus would say, "It is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus would say, "It is written, you should not tempt the Lord your God. It is written, you should worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." I remember seeing this movie called The Book of Eli. I don't know if anyone has ever heard of that book. It was a movie. It was a movie in America. But Eli was blind, and he carried this book with him, the Bible. The world had fallen apart. He had been underground, and there were just remnants of people that had came up from underground from the nuclear fallout. After decades and decades. And Eli carried this book. And little did other people know, especially the evil men, They wanted that book because they knew that that book contained life and it was powerful. They wanted this book, this Bible, but only Eli knew that there was empty and blank papers, pages within the book. Eli was blind. He couldn't read anyway. But what Eli knew that they didn't was that he had the entire Bible hidden in his heart where the enemy could not get to it. He recited the whole entire Bible, word from word, from the front cover to the back cover, for mass reproduction so that it would go out and be distributed in a righteous way and not for sin. He hid it in his heart. He meditated on that word when he was on the ground, day in and day out, and was able to repeat it when it was time for the word to come out. Turn your Bibles to Joshua 1:8. And we're talking about what are we instructed to do with the word. Joshua says that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to what, to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. You know, I used to think that it was impossible almost to meditate on the word day in and day out, all day long, all night long. I heard a preacher say, meditate day in and day out. I thought it was impossible. It kind of scared me off, but to the contrary, meditation is easy. We do it all the time, every day. Subconsciously, we are aware of things. We could be busy doing one thing, but subconsciously be aware of something else. You know, in reality, meditation is defined as a state of thoughtless awareness. It is not an act of doing. It is a state of awareness, just being aware. So we can have a subconscious awareness of God, to be in the presence of God, no matter what we're doing, whether we're going to work, whether we're going to a sporting event, whether we're sitting at home, whether we're even asleep, we can have a subconscious awareness of the presence of God in our lives. When I was, in case of point, when I was a young man, and I think this is true for a lot of young people, mostly young men, but I was always aware of my testosterones, regardless of what I was doing. I don't know if that's just the nature of young boys or whatever, but it's true. I was aware of it night and day, at work or at home, at school. I was aware of it. That was on my mind, regardless of what I was doing. So the subconscious awareness, we already have training for it. We can do it. We can meditate on God's word day in and day out. So what I'm trying to say is that it's not hard to meditate on God's word. It's not hard. That's the deception of the enemy, to tell us it's hard and it's impossible. You know, when we are prosperous and when we have good success in our lives, we become a platform a platform that we can share the good news of Christ more effectively. We are prosperous and have good success, not for selfish reasons. Not for selfish reasons, but for selfless acts. Because we are blessed to be a blessing to others. That's what we are instructed to do with the word. Let it dwell richly in us. Hide it in our hearts so that we can use it against sin. We can meditate on it all the time and share it from a platform of success and prosperity in a loving way to others. But it's not done in our own strength, because we have a helper. We have a helper, which brings us to our final question here. Question number 3. Who helps us to understand the word of God? We must seek the counsel of the Holy Spirit first and foremost. If we look at John 14:26, it tells us that, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and brings you to remembrance all things that I said to you. There is only one who can give us the truth. There's only one. We can't get it on our own. It isn't the theologians that have the answer to the truth. It isn't the PhDs. It's not the apostles. It's not the evangelists. It's not the great saints. It is mandated and delegated to only one, the Holy Spirit. We do not pass go. There's no get out of jail free card. No skipping around it. No excuses. No exceptions. We have to get filled with the Holy Spirit to understand the true meaning, the truth, to understand the word of God. This is my last scripture and I'll be finished. 1 Corinthians 2. Verses 11 and 13. For the word of God says that, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man? For what man knows the things of man except for the spirit of man? Man knows things of man. That's it. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If we want to know how to fish, we don't call and get counsel from a zoologist. We don't call and get counsel from a fisherman or from a farmer. If we want to know how to fish, we understand that. We can comprehend that. That's intelligent understanding for us. It's not hard to understand that. If we can understand that, then we know that it's understandable as well, and it makes sense that the Holy Spirit, he's the one. He counsels us on the word of God. So, in closing, let us be encouraged today to dust off our Bibles to read it, to heed it, to be a practitioner of it, to live by the word of God in our daily lives consistently. It is my hope and my prayer that we allow God's word to instruct us, to be our life source, to lead and to guide us into all truth, to dwell richly in us, that we may hide it in our hearts so that we may not sin against God, that we can protect it from the evil one, that we might meditate on it day and night and allow the Holy Spirit to give us the truth about the word of God. Amen. So, let us go into prayer. Every eye closed. Every thought on Christ. Come into the presence of the Lord. God, we thank you, Father. We thank you that your word, God, is life to us, Father. Your word became flesh and it walked among us. We thank you, Lord, for sowing your only begotten Son into the world that we may be saved, Father. You loved us just that much, Father, that Jesus took on all of our sins. He paid the price so that we can receive your gift of salvation, God. That was the easy part, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you left us, God, the Holy Spirit, our great counselor, our great helper, to get to know Jesus more, to fall in love with Jesus by his words, Father. Lord, it's our prayer this day, God, that your word was heard, your word fell on good ground, your word will meditate in our thoughts, in our minds, in our hearts. And we'll use it, God, for righteousness. Your word will bring us to a point of success, God. Your word will bring us to a point of prosperity, Lord, so that we can be used by you, Father God. And if it will be put on a platform, God, that it will be our platform to articulate your word and to spread the gospel to your people, Father. We thank you, Lord, for using us this day, God, and continue to use us, Father. Let us wipe the dust off of our Bibles and let us go through the pages and read and heed and be practitioners of your word, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us today and residing with us and just dwelling within us. We give you glory and we praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we're going to go out and we're going to read the word of God and we're going to put it in motion, in action. We're going to do something about it. Amen. Make it a part of our daily lives.